Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 25 through 29. John chapter 8. Verses 25 through 29. We'll read this responsively, so if you'll join me on the 26th verse. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And let's pray. Lord, we love you and sure do thank you for the privilege we have to be part of this modern day miracle. We thank you how you meet with us over and over again, how you're saving souls and changing lives. Lord, we ask that you'd meet with us tonight and do something in our hearts. We need to be more like you. Use our preacher. Give him your strength, wisdom, power. Help us to listen with hearts that are tuned to you. We love you, Lord. Amen. The sermon this evening will be extremely simple. I hope you'll listen very carefully. In John 8:29 it says, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Folks, that ought to be our ultimate goal, to do always those things that please him. To do always those things that please him. We should want God to be well pleased with us. Mark chapter 1 verse 11 says, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, we ought to always want to do those things that please him. And Jesus set an example. He did those things that were well pleasing to the Father. I believe Jesus wanted the Father pleased. Listen to this verse. Romans 15:3 it says, For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He said, Jesus said, I'm not trying to please myself. I want to please the Father. We ought to always want to please the Father. We ought to want him to be well pleased with us. The Bible tells us that Jesus pleases God even when he was suffering. Listen to Isaiah 53:10. It says, Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Even when Jesus was suffering, he wanted God to be pleased. And I'll tell you something. I like pleasing people. I really do. I enjoy pleasing people. I want to please my parents. Now, I'm 50 years of age, but my parents are alive, and I still want to please my parents. At Thanksgiving time, our family gathered around a great big huge table, and it is our tradition at Thanksgiving. We go around the table one at a time. Each person at the table mentions something for which they're thankful. Sometimes we'll go around two or three times. And this year we were going around the table, and my mother was all the way at the end of the table. And we got to her, and my mother began to weep. And she said, I just want you all to know, I'm so thankful for my boy and the difference he makes in the lives of people. Now, I had to crack a joke. You know, I crack a joke to keep from crying. You know, y'all, you do that. I crack a joke to keep from crying, and I said, "Well, that's wonderful, Mom. Let's go on. I want to get past it before I started boo-hooing in my turkey and gravy there." But listen, I'll tell you what. That was delightful to me. I pleased my mama. I don't want to. Hey, listen. I have a lot of friends. I'd like to please my friends. I don't want to displease them. I don't want to displease my parents. I want to please my family. I don't want to displease them. I want to please my church. I don't want to displease the church. Most of all, though, I want to please the Lord. I don't want to displease him. I've noticed in the Bible there are some term, this term, displeasure or displease, God uses it from time to time in regard to man's behavior. Now, if God points something out and a certain behavior that displeases him, I would think that you and I would want to be extra careful with that. Now, let me explain something. This word displease, I kind of broke it down and studied it a little bit. The word displease means it makes God indignant. Indignant. But actually that word indignant is a Latin word, and the Latin word means it means it's insulting. If you and I do something that's displeasing to God, that means our behavior is virtually insulting to God. I'll tell you a story. Never had anything like this happen before. Probably never have it happen again. It's probably been about, two or three years ago. I was at a meeting out in California. And while I was there, we had either just had what we call a question-answer period. That's where people sit in the congregation, and I stand at the pulpit, and they want to ask me questions about church building and just anything. I can't remember if we had just about shut the little question-answer period down or if it was still running. But a fella in the back, and he was a pastor. I didn't really know him. I'd seen him around a little bit. I noticed when I was preaching that morning, he had a pretty sour look on his face, and he was sitting there, and he kind of spoke out in this little session, and he said this to me. He said, "Well, Brother Owens, how's your hillbilly church coming along?" Now, I thought he was kidding. Because, you know, I tell redneck jokes and hillbilly jokes, and I said, "Hey, it's coming along just fine." Well, we kept doing what we were doing there, and he just kind of spoke out again a moment later. He said, "How's it feel to be a redneck, Brother Owens?" Now, the first time I thought he was kidding. The second time, he was being nasty. And I kind of ignored it, and I went on, and he said, "Well..." And he, again, out loud, he said, "How's it feel to be a hick?" I'm going to tell you, I was insulted. I was mad. I was offended. You know something? And it ought to offend you, too. You know, I say, that's not, you know, you want to joke about a little something, fine. This guy was just flat out being rude. And I felt insulted. And if he were trying to insult me, he made it. He made it. I was insulted. Now, you shouldn't do what I did. This part of it I shouldn't tell. Because he beat me down two or three times and humiliated me. And I don't know why I said it. I said, "Well, my hillbilly church is doing fine. Last week, our morning offering was $50,000. Sir, what was your offering last week?" He sat down, didn't say another word. Must be pretty rich hillbillies. But he insulted me. I'm a pretty hard person to insult. But he insulted me. You know, When you and I, wherever in the Bible the word displeased is used, it makes God indignant. In other words, we are doing something that is virtually insulting to God. Now, I can't because of my health, I can't really develop this well for you tonight. Let me quickly show you some things in a study that I did about how I want to make sure I never insulted God. And you ought not want to insult God either. Let me show it to you. First of all, we insult, or remember the word displease. We displease the Lord when people persecute good Christians. When somebody persecutes a good Christian, that's insulting to God. Why? Those are His people. It's insulting. Listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and our own prophets and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God." That's that displeasing to God. What was happening? They were persecuting good Christians. And God said, when you persecute a good Christian, He said, that is virtually a personal insult to me.
You see, when we mock good Christians, I think God's insulted. Hey, young people, let me tell you something. We've got young people in our youth department, in our Christian school, that are sincerely trying to serve God, and you're calling them a square, and you're teasing them, and you're mocking them. You are insulting their Father. You're insulting their Heavenly Father. You see around the church somebody sincerely serving God and giving their best. Hey, and some that are going the extra mile. And they truly are interested in prayer, and they truly are interested in serving God. And you stand back and you mock and turn your nose up a little bit. May I warn you? That is insulting to God. Now, for you to insult me might not be appropriate, but for you to insult God is dangerous. Don't insult God. Hey, I think it breaks God's heart. But a nation that persecutes good Christians is a nation in whom God is displeased. America better be careful that she does not insult God. You insult God. You ever notice what God does to nations that insult God? If the lost insult us, that's displeasing to God. But folks, us Christians should not be insulting God by mocking one another. Now listen, everybody in our church is at a different level of spirituality. And you're going to have to realize something. There might be some of you that are at a lower level, and you think somebody else's level of Christian living is a little higher than yours. You might want to mock that. I wouldn't do that. It's insulting to God. And some of you, you have to understand something. We have some brand new people in our church. We have some people only been coming for 2 or 3 weeks. They don't know everything you know. Be careful how you treat them. And be careful that you don't look down and almost have an insulting attitude toward them. Because, hey, your looking down on them is insulting to their God. And they go on. We displease or insult the Lord when we commit adultery. 2 Samuel 11:27, it says, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But this thing that David had done displeased," there's that word, "displeased the Lord." This is when David took Bathsheba. I preached on it the last couple of weeks. Folks, God said if you commit adultery, that's insulting to God. That is an insult to God. That's because marriage is such a spiritually important relationship. You say, what's the big deal? Marriage pictures Christ the groom and born-again Christians as the bride. And when you go tampering with an immorality between Christ the groom and Christians the bride, that's very insulting, for the marriage pictures a relationship between God and His people. And God said, you have just insulted me. That means you stay true to your mate. See, adultery is almost like cheating on Jesus. Adultery deeply displeases Jesus. It's one of the 10 commandments. It's insulting. Remember, when you see that word displeased, it means that it's virtually an insult to God. So, we displease the Lord when we persecute good Christians. Secondly, we displease the Lord when we commit adultery. Thirdly, we displease the Lord when we're happy that our enemies fail. When we're happy that our enemies fail. Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18 says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath." Now listen, God's saying when your enemy falls and you're happy about it, God said that displeases me, that insults me. Why? Because God is in the salvaging business, not the destroying business. And then God wanted you to love your enemy and pray for those that despitefully use you, and God was hoping you would take on His attitude. And His attitude was, He didn't want them to fall. He wanted them to make it. He wanted them to succeed. Folks, we're to love our enemies. God, vengeance is God's, not ours. And when we're hateful, even toward our enemies, it is insulting to God. I don't think that God disciplines in hatred. There are times when God chastises. There are times when God spanks. But I can remember times when I would have to discipline my children, but it broke my heart to do it. I didn't want to. I didn't want to discipline. And I believe that when somebody pushes God far enough, He will discipline. But I don't think God is laughing about it and is overjoyed. God is not an evil scientist in heaven saying, ah, ha, 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 I get to spank you. God's heart is broken. And when our enemies fall and we are pleased with it, God said, you have insulted me. You're supposed to love people. Not only that, number four, I think we displease or insult the Lord when we are gripers and complainers. Listen to this. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1 says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. This is the Old Testament speaking of the time of Moses. The Bible, it goes on to say, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God's saying here, your complaining insults God. Everything you have came from God. Next time you complain, why don't you just go ahead and address Him? Instead of griping to your husband or griping to your wife or griping to somebody else, why don't you just look right at God and say, you gave it to me, I'm unsatisfied. And when you complain, God says, you just insulted me. That's insulting. You say, why, Brother Owens? Because God knows best. And if God knows best, whatever is happening, God knows best. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, these people that were overthrown in the wilderness were the ones that were griping and complaining. 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. In verse 10 it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. In 1 Corinthians we're reminded again of the Old Testament saints complaining and how it displeased God. A negative attitude about what God's given us displeases God. Griping displeases God. See, when you look at your cup and it's half empty instead of half full, you know, if you just take a good long look at it, somebody's got it worse than you. And God says, that complaining is insulting to me. When you see all of life's negatives long before you see life's positives, that's insulting. And God said, I've been good to you. And folks, always remember this. To qualify this to the furthest extreme, you deserve hell, I deserve hell. Whatever's happening to us here on earth is better than hell. It's better than hell, and what God has promised us for our future ought to give us enough hope to endure anything that we have to with a good attitude. Hey, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and I have no right to complain. You might as well just go ahead and slap God across the face and say, I'm dissatisfied. God said, that is displeasing to me. Let me go on. Number five, we displease the Lord when we're full of pride. Full of pride. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 through 7, we find out, and it uses the word displeased. David numbers the people in an act of pride, and God says, that displeases me. It was not necessarily the numbering, it was the act of pride. It was what was in the heart while it was happening. Because we know God numbered the people in the New Testament. God was always going around counting and saying, look, there were 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Look, there were 4,000 people fed. It wasn't the issue of the count, it was the issue of the pride in regard to the count. But it displeased God. The word displeased is used there in 1 Chronicles 21. See, when you and I begin to take credit for what God's done, that's insulting. When we take credit for what somebody else has done, that's insulting to God. Don't forget, pride was Lucifer's original downfall from heaven. And it's created tremendous displeasure for God ever since then. Prideful behavior, hey, even prideful behavior between a husband and wife, that displeases God. It's insulting. Let's be careful of our pride. Probably no sin more frequented by the Christian than our pride. Our pride. And that's insulting to God. Why? Folks, if there's anybody we ought to stay humble around, it's God. It's God. You need Him. You need to depend on Him. You need to be humble in His sight. It's insulting when God creates man and then man turns around and ignores his creator. I can see why that would be insulting to God. But let me go on. We displease the Lord when we're unjust in our judgment. When we're unjust in our judgment. Let me read these verses to you. Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. In other words, there was unjust judgment. And God said, that's insulting to me. You say, why? God's been awful fair to you. It seemed like we'd be fair to each other. If God can be fair to us, God has been more than fair to us. And God, I think one of the main attributes of God is His justice. And God said, it's very offensive to me, it's very insulting to me when you're not fair among each other. Look, if God can forgive you and I of our millions of sins against Him, remember, that is perfection, forgiving imperfection. God said, what in the world right do you have to hold grudges when it's one sinner holding a grudge against another sinner? God said, that is a little bit offensive to me. And He's saying, why don't you grow up and live right? God is for fairness. It displeases God when we treat each other unfairly. We're all good at this. Husbands will gripe at wives for something this week and then be guilty of that very identical behavior in 3 weeks from now. Boy, a man, I can get on Mrs. Owens and I'll say, honey, boy, you were just wasting money right back there. 2 weeks later, I'm the one wasting. Amen. Boy, can we be hard on each other. Listen, folks, did you know someone is innocent until proven guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt? When the innocent are wrongly punished, that displeases God. When the guilty are not punished, that displeases God. God said, it's very insulting to me when man does not work on fairness because I have been so fair to God. I've been above fair to man. Man ought to be working harder at being just among men. You know what that means? It means giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know what that means? It means letting people, knowing, well, maybe somebody had a bad day. Just had a bad day. You know, there's somebody in here, I'm just sure of it. Somebody, 3 months ago, somebody around you, they were having a bad day. You let it get to you, and instead of just writing it off as a bad day, you've held a grudge ever since. And I think God looks at that, and God says, can I tell you how many bad days you have had? And how patient and kind and long-suffering and gentle and good I have been to you. But you, a sinner, can't be just and fair and treat other people right. And God said, that's pretty insulting to me that my people would act that way. I have one more. But this one's going to last for 35 minutes. No, it won't. I said, it is insulting to God. It displeases God when we persecute good Christians. Secondly, it's insulting or displeasing to the Lord when we commit adultery. That's because of the comparison of Christ and Christians to marriage. And then thirdly, we displease the Lord when we're happy that our enemies fall. Then we displease the Lord when we gripe and complain. We displease the Lord when we're proud. We displease the Lord when we're unfair in our judgment and we're not just with the people around us. And then finally, and we're done, we displease the Lord when we turn away the little children. I was amazed at this. I was both amazed and delighted when I found it. The Bible says in Mark 10, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, I probably won't read it all, but it says, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Much. In other words, when someone tried to hinder the children from coming, Jesus was much insulted. Much insulted. You say, why, preacher? Well, first of all, the children don't belong to you. Parents, your children belong to God. Don't you forget that. You're not to be rearing them for you. You're to be rearing them for God. All sorts of parents have a will for their children's life. That's the worst thing you'll ever do. You better make sure it's God's will that you want for their life. Jesus said, you hinder those kids from coming to me. I've met parents that don't want their kids to be missionaries. I've met parents that don't want their kids to go off into the service of God. You better be careful. That's insulting to God. God gave you that child. And the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. You might want to be careful.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't want my child in the ministry. Would you rather them not be around at all? I've seen it happen. But here, the children were coming, and the Bible says it much displeased the Lord. It much insulted the Lord. I believe this. You let me make a modern-day application, Brother Dajan. I think if we decided to shut down the buses and stop bringing the poor children, I think that would much insult God. You know what we can do? We can all get fat and sassy and enjoy our chandeliers and enjoy our padded pews and enjoy some great music. If we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off the main focus of the New Testament church, and that's keeping people out of hell. And more children get saved than adults get saved any day of the week, and that's because of our pride and our arrogance and our self-sufficiency. And the Lord said, get those children saved. Keep bringing those little ones in. Get them in there so they can get born again. And the churches say, well, we don't have the money for that. We don't have an interest in that. God said, you have insulted me. Don't you hinder the little children from coming. Hey, listen, not taking seriously your children's Sunday school class, I think then would be insulting to God. Not taking seriously your children's church job or your nursery job, I think that's insulting to God. Insulting. The scripture that we started with in John 8:29, it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. When you do those things that please Him, that means you have complimented Him. When we do those things that displease Him, we have insulted Him. You only see the word displease or displeasure so many times in the Bible. It is an insult. Let's be very careful that we're not guilty of insulting our great God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.